You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a mystical, spiritual community radiating light and love, transforming consciousness. Our mission is healing lives, building dreams, and realizing God. Now, Senior Minister, Reverend Carolyn Mathlin.
Good morning, and welcome to Unity of Tustin. This is my favorite day of the whole year. You should get an extra hour of sleep. It's really delightful. I noticed myself having a little extra pep in my step that only sleep can provide. So welcome to Unity of Tustin on this fifth week of Adventure in Faith, where we really focus on our community, on the people, the programs, and the practices that sustain us. And we're working specifically during this eight-week series on Shift into Freedom by Locke Kelly. We're on chapter 10 this week. And so yesterday I have made a recommitment to exercising, and part of that commitment is to going to the gym. It helps to go to the gym to exercise sometimes, but you don't have to. And so I've noticed that myself, as I was on the elliptical machine yesterday, listening to what else but Locke Kelly's glimpse practices, I was noticing the parallel between my aversion to running and what happens when I get onto the elliptical with the movement from seeing the world through thoughts and thinking to first resting in spacious awareness, this awake awareness field, and then allowing the thoughts to inform my world. So I do not care for running at all. It is painful, it is not pleasant, and I can't imagine that anyone does it for fun, for me. But I've noticed that when I get onto the elliptical, or whatever, you know, there's several machines, but the one that I get on typically, the resistance or the pain that I typically associate with running goes away. And I'm getting all of the benefits of running, of the cardio work, without the pain of running on the ground. I've never understood the idea of a runner's high that felt like an oxymoron to me. But now I'm understanding it. Like a mile in, I'm going, wow, I can do 10 more miles, no problem. I don't think that's true. But there's like this other sense that's coming in that if I were to be running on the ground, would not be there. And it's very similar to the practice that we're working with awake awareness of unhooking. Because when our reality, our attention is solely focused on our thoughts as the place where we filter in reality or even our emotions, and we're seeing everything as a subject-object, there's a lot of pain that gets involved in that. It's a lot of suffering, needless suffering, a lot of ego identification that happens. That when, in this case, we unhook from our thoughts or we get onto the elliptical machine, There's a spaciousness, there's a different content from which we live our lives that includes all the benefits of thinking without the pain. All the benefits without running without the pain. And so I offer that as another way to start to see that it's not that we're stopping thinking or thoughts. For the person who can stop thoughts and thinking, I want your name and number. There is a capacity, I think, that we can stop, but that's really, doesn't seem like it's the best use of our energy and resources to stop thought. And at some point, it just feels like that's not even worth it, because you can just shift your awareness to another reality that includes being aware of thought, just like it includes being aware of everything else that's arising. So that's the reorientation of our world that we're working with, moving from a space of suffering and pain, and seeing the world and all the ups and downs as real, to orienting from a spaciousness that sees all that is arising first, and greets it from that capacity, from that awareness that includes form and formlessness. So we're on chapter 10, where we're working with specifically embodied, open-hearted awareness. And I'd like us to, as we enter into our service today, enter into this exploration, to presence the energy of this work with our affirmations for this week. So I invite you to say with me together, we are embodied, open-hearted awareness. I am accessing a dimension of reality. I am a new way of being, knowing, relating. I am embodying heart mind. I am being with emotions. I am discovering the support of awake awareness. I am awakened heart wisdom. And so with that intention and setting that field, I invite you to either close your eyes or leave them open as we enter into our opening prayer and invocation for adventure and faith and for our time together today. And so taking that deep breath in and out, we say, oh, beloved one, essence of all that is. In this moment, we shift into stillness. This quiet stillness leads awareness to the breath. I breathe in, I breathe out, in, out. I'm aware of a unifying sacredness in the stillness, in my breath, in my awareness. I shift into freedom, oneness, and so it is. Amen. Oh, you are in my soul. When I look at you, I'm home. Did anyone notice, you might not have been as intricately connected with this material, but did anyone else notice there was a slight difference, and by slight I mean a huge difference, between the practice of heart-centered connection in the book and the audio version? Open-hearted connecting. Did anyone else notice that? No? Cool. Well, I'm going to tell you about it. So this is new information. Because it's really important as we go forward, and Mary Jean touched on this a little bit, that there's this awareness or this idea that this is not new material. And there's an aspect of that that I could say, yes, that's true. I feel there's a lot of similarities in what we've worked with, and especially the work that I'm doing with Patricia Albert and the Evolutionary Collective, and there's many of us in our community that are also involved in that. And the work that I've done in centering prayer, the practice of centering prayer, which is steeped in Christian mysticism, and then some new thought teachings and so forth. But there's also an added flavor to this that is different. It is different. And it's probably most palpable in the difference between what's on page 197, open-hearted connecting, and what's in the audio. In the open-hearted connecting in the book, there's this, what we did with in the meditation practice, although it's a much more expanded in-depth practice, in that there is this unhooking of the mind, unhooking of thought. Because remember, local awareness is the movability of awareness. Awareness is not a fixated point. So this idea that awareness is always located behind the eyes and sees out and helps us process, and that it is it's that which is thinking. That's a very narrow way to use awareness or to look and experience awareness as a subject object. I'm over here, you're over there, and it's the vehicle, it's the way that I'm going to see the world out there. So a lot of the earlier practices have been about unhooking that limited way of experiencing awareness and actually moving awareness down into other parts of the body, down into the throat, down into the top of the chest, down into your finger or your toes, as a way of experiencing there is something else that's arising prior to thought. Knowing is prior to thought. And we don't actually need to reference a thought, or what do I think about this, or how do I feel about this, to know something. So that's the beginning of this practice. And then in the book, then, in this on page 197, or the beginning of it, he then invites us to, okay, now that you're in the chest and you're experiencing awareness, what is real without going up to thought or down to sleep, what is reality? And then unhooking from even feeling awareness in the body and moving it out to the back of your, to the back of your heart. And experiencing awareness as an open door in the heart that is also included in the back. And he says, in a sentence, awareness has your back. That there's something that is what he's calling spacious awareness, which is this field of contentless, formless, timeless, the ground of being, reality, that is not, that doesn't change. The only thing that changes is our capacity to experience it or not. And this is not, that this is what in unity we would call the absolute realm. This is the fourth dimension. So this is not the new part. But what is that we actually can live from that consciousness that's not hooked into a specific location in our body. And so then he invites you to experience what that's like, to have energy flowing through the heart into the back of your heart, and that's not localized to your body, and then so forth. And then looking out into the world with that consciousness. And that basically is the practice that he offers in the book. So imagine my surprise and delight when I'm on the elliptical yesterday and reconnecting with this material, and I heard something a little bit different on the audio. And this is in track, the disc 3, track 2, where he talks about, and this is basically Tonglen practice with what would be more of an absolute grounding in reality. So what he talks about is, you know, in New Thought we're used to, he doesn't say New Thought, but basically it's New Thought, I think, where we breathe in peace, we breathe in love, we breathe in positive, and we breathe out what? Negative. So we're receiving the positive, we're receiving what is good and true and pure and real, and we're breathing out all that is limiting and so forth. And that's a certain practice. It's a relative practice, because inherent in that is a duality that we need to get rid of the negative and we need to bring in the positive, and that there is something to bring in and bring out. You following me? And he says, similarly, although much more complexly, there's a practice found in Buddhism that's called Tonglen. How many of you are familiar with Tonglen practice? It's a beautiful practice. We had a couple years ago Swami Gurujananda, who is both a practicing Buddhist and yogic teacher in the Nisargadatta, Muktananda lineage. So she kind of has both happening simultaneously. So she taught a Tonglen practice. It's beautiful. It's a similar theme to it, in that instead of breathing in positive, you actually breathe in the negative. You breathe in the suffering of the world. You breathe in the unconsciousness, the pain, the forgetfulness, the sin, the evil, whatever your name for it is, into your heart. And in the container of the heart, surround it with your compassion, your love, and transform that energy, that darkness, that pain, that negativity into light, into love, and then breathe that back out into the world. And this is particularly, you know, if we're doing some more collective work for our family, for the world, this is a very powerful practice of literally using the body as the vehicle, the consciousness as the vehicle for transformation from negative to positive. And what he says is that this is also, and if you are not familiar with that practice, it's a very beautiful practice and worth looking into under the guidance of a teacher. The practice that he includes with Tonglen, but takes it into what he calls more of an absolute practice, is similar. But first, what he does, and this is where we actually talked about in our study circle. I have to say, sort of side note, I went into, for those of you who are in study circles, I encourage you to keep going. Last Wednesday was the Royals-Mets game, and I really made up a story that I needed to watch the Royals and Mets game and not go to the study circle. And I went anyway, and it was the most joy-filled, fun experience. I posted a picture of us. We were all a little nutty, and it was perfect. But there was also this this lightness, this buoyancy, this depth that we were able to step into because we were just all in a different field. But with that, one of the discussion pieces that came up was, you know, from what are we relating to suffering? Or to taking something on, or to looking at negative thoughts? And what we talked about, and what is really important in this practice, is that we're relating from this spacious, awake awareness. And that's what makes it heart-centered. Because that practice that we did of dropping from our head into our heart, or into the chest, really, and then into the back, is about anchoring in what is real first. It's not even relative to our own heart space. It is orienting outside of our body into this field, this limitless, formless, contentless awareness that is reality. And so whatever is flowing through, whether it be positive or negative, is not up to us as Carolyn or Nevin or Kirk to fix or transform or to surround with our love, although it includes that, it is first and foremost surrounded and grounded in this awake awareness, this greater reality. So then the practice becomes anchoring in that first for ourselves and feeling that infinite spaciousness first. And then bringing in something or someone, whether they're in front of you or someone that you are having an issue with or a challenge, and bringing them into the field and receiving, using the energy to move out through your heart into their heart, experience whatever is arising in their field. And he uses more of the negative experience, I mean, which is more of a Tonglen approach, of whatever is unconscious, whatever is in pain, whatever is in suffering, whatever is forgetting, whatever is in fear, or the fear itself, and actually move it out through their own capacity, seeing in the back of them their own access to the divine. To the spacious awareness. And then feeling the loop coming back through into your own heart and back into awake awareness. So you're not the one who is holding it for them. You are actually in the process of being with them as it's transformed in a greater reality. Which is a little bit different. It's a little bit of a different flavor than a Tonglen practice. And especially if you can do this with a couple or a friend, this is a very powerful way to work with the energy and move it into another container that is both including, this is what he calls simultaneous mind, that includes the form and the formless. This is different than witnessing your thoughts or witnessing your emotions or even embracing them. This is about actually working with them in a way that sees them in a greater context, that it infuses them without hooking in to, remember the practice, I am, let's say, alone. I am alone, to I feel alone, to I'm aware of feeling alone, to welcome aloneness, and then ultimately awareness and aloneness are not separate. This practice of heart-centered connecting is about recognizing that whatever is arising and awareness and God are not separate. And there's a capacity for both that you are bearing witness to, you are both bearing witness to. And you can do this with someone who knows that that's what's happening or with someone who doesn't. It's more powerful if you're in it together. But so this week, this is our opportunity to step into this level of depth. And the final practice of a lot of the work that he does is this idea and this invitation to let it be. Once the work has, once you've done the glimpse practice, there's this resting, this letting it be, that becomes so important. So that your glimpse practice this week, I'll send this out. I'll do a little transcription of the audio version, although I encourage you to listen to it from the audio itself. But it's a really amazing opportunity, and I've been practicing this myself, actually. I might write about it because I didn't get a chance to talk about it. And we'll go from there. We'll continue the journey next week as we really deepen in this ability and this capacity to live from heart-centered awake awareness. And so I invite you to, we've come to the time of receiving of our tithes and our love offerings. And before we do that, I'd like to once again say our affirmations together for the week, again, based on chapter 10. So let's say together, we are embodied, open-hearted awareness. I am accessing a dimension of reality. I am a new way of being, knowing, relating. I am embodying heart mind. I am being with emotions. I am discovering the support of awake awareness. I am awakened heart wisdom. And so as you fill out your commitment to practicing and to being in prayer this week, if we already have your address and phone number and all your information, great, just sign the slip. We have a running total of people who, as of last week, we are practicing and in prayer together with on page 3 in your bulletin. And I've also invite you to prepare your love offering. And this really, this is a part of our service that really is a ceremony. It's a ritual of recognizing the abundance and blessings in our life, whether they are manifest yet or not. They are an opportunity for us to participate in the truth that as we give, so shall we receive. Pressed down, running over. And so this is our opportunity to surround that practice with our love and our light and our intention as we hold our gifts and our commitment to practice in our hand and say together the love offering blessing. Together, divine love as me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive.
Unity of Tustin is supported through your generous tithes and love offerings. To support Unity of Tustin online, please click the donate button on our homepage. Thank you for listening.